We again are going to be in Galatians chapter 6 tonight. Galatians chapter 6. This is really the culmination of the whole book in the fight for freedom through faith. We know that there were ones within the different congregations throughout the churches in Galatia that were trying to bring people back under the law. Matter of fact, insisting that if they didn't do certain things, such as circumcision, they couldn't be saved. They couldn't be an honest Christian. Really handcuffing them back to the law, which was just to point to our sin anyways. And so really locking them away from the freedom that they have through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a hard and difficult thing, you know, for you and I to get retrapped in the things of the world because of the flesh. It's challenging. I remember, most of you know, I was saved a little later in life and did not go to school for ministry until I was 35. And I worked in a machine shop. And I knew how to run a lot of different kinds of machinery quite well. And so if a person was absent and they needed somebody to work a certain set of machines, I could do that. And this one particular day, it was in the summer. I was on summer break, and I was working 10-hour shifts at the time so that we could just keep things going as people took vacations and stuff like that. And they asked me to run milling machines. Now, I don't know if you know anything about milling machines, but milling machines, when they grind out or cut whatever they're cutting, they leave really tiny little chips. And really, they're tiny little fish hooks. I mean, they are so nasty and everything. And you have to be very careful of how you clean up and everything else when you are finished. And I really pressed right up to the end. And I have to admit, I was in a hurry to get done. The different hoses that you have to clean up gently, our air hoses had diffusers on it so that it wouldn't come out in a big, you know, and blow everything all over the place. And for some reason, I picked up this hose. I had a shield on. I had my glasses on with side shields. And the diffuser blew right off as soon as I pulled the trigger. And so all of these fine little chips came right up underneath my shield, and immediately I knew I had all these milling chips in my eyes. And I'm just, don't blink, don't blink, don't blink. Get help, get help, get help. Lord, help me, I don't want to blink, you know. Don't open your eyes, don't open your eyes. And so I began yelling for help, somebody to come, and I guess I was just plastered. Now, I had a apron on because you don't want to take all those little fish hooks home with you and your wife trying to get them out of in the laundry. You know, and somebody came. They took me to the foreman. The foreman says, take him to the hospital, to the ER right now. And so they're guiding me around by my hand, and I'm, don't blink, don't blink, don't blink, you know. We get to the emergency room. I sit down. He has me sit down. And I'm sitting there trying to be calm, don't blink, don't blink, you know. And all of a sudden, I hear this call, Rich Bailey. Yeah, I'm over here. And I'm kind of reaching for the guy who brought me, and he's not there. You gotta sign in. I'm over here. I can't see. Nothing. All of a sudden, it's Rich Bailey. Come and sign in. I can't. I can't see. I'm sitting here. No help. I want you to know, we live in a time and in a culture that can't see as much as they want to see. I earnestly wanted to. And even for the child of God, that we can get into things that take us away to where we're trapped again, away from the Lord. And as much as we want to get back, we're snared. And it seems like there's no help. Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10, truly gives us the reality that living in the Spirit is crucial, crucial for the family of God. Living in the Spirit is crucial for us. That was Ephesians 5. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we jump into your word tonight, Lord, we just ask your hand of blessing on this time together. Lord, that you would be glorified in it all, that our hearts would be encouraged. Father, that you would certainly take our hearts and mold them even more for your glory. So as we meet in your presence, we ask that your Spirit would indeed work on each of our hearts in a profound way, so that this family of God blossoms into fruitfulness that is seen and experienced within this body and within this city, within our culture. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's remind ourselves of verse 1 in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." Restoration is crucial within the body of Christ. You know, sometimes we walk away or somebody walks away that we know, and wanting to see them restored back in fellowship with God mainly, as well as fellowship within the body of Christ, is crucial. Wanting them to experience the full blessings of God. And as it says here, and as Billy rightly pointed out, that word trespass isn't hamartia, which is for sin. It is different. It is just a slippage away. Yeah, starting the backsliding road. And he yearns here, Paul yearns for them within the body of Christ to see that they were restored spiritually. And by one in the Spirit, you know, gently considering ourselves, unless we are also tempted. Let me remind you of what Romans 8, verses 6 through 9 says. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." When you and I start walking away from God, we suffer, as it is, the death of fellowship, the death of communion with God. We're going to celebrate communion, and that starts breaking for the child of God. It goes on to say this, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Wow, when we start backsliding, get snared again back into things of the world, carnal living, we can't please God. And I don't know about you, but I enjoy pleasing God in my walk. And I enjoy watching people walk with God. And just the peace that they have and the joy that they have in their heart, because their communion is rich and full in a wonderful way. The joy of that spiritually mindedness, spiritually heartedness is what it really is, to where we live in, walk in, and we're directed by the Spirit of God. James chapter 5 would declare it this way, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Wow, that is what this verse is teaching. Making sure that people are walking with God, encouraging people in their walk with God so that there's peace, joy, and fruitfulness. Now, is that easy to go to a brother or sister in the Lord that you know that has kind of gone off course? Well, no, it's not easy. The third time the yell comes from, Rich Bailey, you got to sign in. Now, I'm in school to go in the ministry, and right about that time, my temper level was rising a little, and I yell back, I can't see. And very gently, I hear a voice in front of me, who happened to be a gal, said, Sir, may I help you? Boy, I've been abandoned. And that's what it seems like. Sometimes when we get away from God, it seems like everybody's abandoned us rather than somebody coming to the rescue. That is restoration. That's what God's called you and I to do. She very gently took my arm, told me to stand, told me which way to turn. You talk about a gentle spirit. Total stranger. Can't see you. I have no idea what that person looks like today. But deep in my heart, guess what? I just praise God for her and what she did. Restoration is crucial. You and I cannot allow the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ to be recaptured for Satan's glory rather than for God's. Look at verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Compassionate care is crucial. Not only is restoration crucial, but compassionate care. This is talking about coming alongside of people who jointly and to lift them up when they're walking through life's most difficult seasons. Be there for them. Maybe just listen to them as they share their burdens and what life is. But it's crucial. Paul, when he was writing to the folks in Thessalonica, he put it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And then you have those wonderful little statements, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Wow, compassionate care. You know, sometimes we don't know what to say when somebody's going through a difficult time. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Sometimes it's that thought of hearing about cancer or some other disease, and you and I might not know what to say. That's okay. Being there is, in my opinion, 75% of the support. Just listening. Wanting them to know that you care about them and you want to encourage them as they walk through this difficult time. Bearing one another's burdens. Wanting them to be able to get up and walk, and not the burdens, the circumstances, to turn them away from their walk with Christ, where their walk with Christ can be restored to joy and peace and fulfillment. Being there, coming alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He is that paraclete. He comes alongside and lifts us up and encourages us in the most difficult times in our lives. Verse 3, notice what it goes on to say. For if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Uh-oh. humility is crucial in the body of Christ. Being able to walk humbly with our God, being able to walk justly, that Micah 6:8 thought, earnestly striving in our relationship to be with him in a profound way. I know most of you know Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let me repeat them, but I'm going to add verse 3 to it. Notice what it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You and I can only do that in humility. That's the only way we can do that. Humble ourselves before our great God. Then we can do that. And that's when it happens. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. That's what God yearns for us to do. We can't do it if we think of ourselves more highly. Verse 3 goes on to say this, for I say, through the grace given to me, Paul, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What does that mean? That means God's given you a plan, given me a plan within his great plan, you know, to be a part of the body of Christ. You know, when I first started going through Corinthians and he was talking about the eye can't be the ear can't be the nose and those kinds of things. And when I first got saved, I go, well, if anything, I'm only a hangnail. I irritate everybody, it seems like, you know, but I'm connected. But God has a plan for each and every one of us to take part within the body of Christ, within the whole framework of his plan, and you and I need to do that humbly. For those who have been in self-confrontation, you got to remember this word, this thought, you and I need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. We have to yearn to follow and truly delight in God's love letter to us. Truly wanting to walk with God. Humility is crucial within the body of Christ. If we are going to be able to be in that place where we're living in the Spirit for the power of God, for the purpose of the family of God, humility is crucial. Look at verses 4 and 5 with me. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each shall bear his own load. Godly self-examination. There you go, self-confrontation, folks. That's what it is, being willing to be able to examine our own hearts before a holy God. It is crucial for our walk with God. And that is what he is saying there. Examine his own work. Am I doing this for the glory of God, or do I want to pat on the back by somebody out in the world? Is this truly Christ living through me, or is it something else? Wanting God to be fully aware that he is in the forefront of my intentionality. Why I do the things I do intentionally for his glory. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 26, verses 1 through 3. David said, vindicate me, O Lord, and I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord. Improve me, try my mind and my heart. Are we really willing to say those kinds of things before our God consistently, yearning for him to be glorified and magnified in all that we do? That sweet gal who's leading me, and she had to take a couple of twists and turns to get to the desk, and And I said, could you guide my hand to where I have to sign? And she said, sure. And I put my hand down. The nurse, or whoever was there, goes, you can't go in unless you sign in. I'm like, I'm here trying to sign in. The law. Those were the rules of this emergency room, and I understand that. It was the law. But yet she didn't seem, and she probably was having a bad day, didn't have any grace to understand I was in a predicament and I couldn't do it the way I wanted to do it. And this gal put my hand down and she goes, I'll hold the paper. And I said, why, thank you. And so I wrote my name, and I don't know if I came anywhere close to the line that was there. And I said, thank you. And I said, could you guide me back to my seat? And she said, I'll do better than that. I will stay with you until a nurse comes for you. Whoa, can't beat that. Do you see that? You and I sometimes have to go out of our way. I have no idea what she could have been there waiting herself. I have no idea, but totally went out of the way so that somebody in dire straits could be seen by the one who could help. The joy of being able to be there. You know, Matthew, and again, self-confrontation people, you and I are instructed in Matthew 7:5, remove the plank from your own eye. I don't know how many of you remember, but about 8 years ago, Pastor Kent was here from Uganda, and he called somebody up, and this person's going, I got something in my eye, Pastor Kent, can you help me? And he goes, sure, and he picked up this 2x4 and started walking towards the guy. You and I have to remove the things from our eye, and that's what it is, to be able to examine ourselves before a holy God so that we can. Notice what it says in verse 6. Verse 6 goes on to say this. You and I need to understand that teaching honorably is crucial. Following honorably is crucial. Did you get that? Teaching honorably is crucial. Following honorably is crucial. Look at verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Now, in some Greek texts, there is a conjunction in there in the beginning of the text, the word but. And that word but would lend itself to be a connection to let each one shall bear his own load. But, you know, looking at pastors are meant to be cared for, material things. Billy, in my mind, within the context of what we have, also hit it. Listen, teachers teach, pastors teach. You need to be teachable, you know, to be able to move forward. Both sides of the coin are crucial, the teaching and the following. Here's just some thoughts of me as a pastor, some expectations of me. I am to be a shepherd to the flock of God. I am to be an example to the flock of God. I should rightly divide the word of truth to the very best of my ability every time I teach. Why? Because I'm doubly accountable to God for my teaching. I am held that way before God. I need to strive to be blameless in this world. Perfect? Never. But strive for always to be blameless in this world. If a pastor arises to that, no matter what their ministry is under them, what should you be doing? Well, I think you should be teachable, have a pliable heart. I think you should apply the truth of God's word so that there is spiritual growth. I think you and I both should share the truth with others, and you should care for your pastors. Bottom line, care for them. You know, I spent a little over 10 years here on staff, and I can honestly say that even during my trials of life when Diane was sick, this church cared for me well. Now, did they do it perfectly? No. But did they do it well? Yes. Did they make me rich? No, I already came with that name. And that's the closest I ever got to it. But did they want to be sure that my needs were met? Absolutely. To me, in my 10-year experience here, the only way that things could have been done a little better, and this is just a little constructive, man, if the elders of the church would personally get to know the pastors, that would be wonderful. You know, it would just be another addition to caring for them that way. You and I have a huge responsibility before God, but so do you. That's what this verse is talking about, and how it is there to be a part of the family of God in such a way. Hebrews 13:7 says this, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." You know, are they being an example to God? Then follow it. Paul often said, follow me because I follow Christ. And we as pastors, that's what we should be doing. Following Christ, his lead in our lives, wanting his leadership continuously. And guess what? Y'all come along. Let's do the same thing. Be out there, being that example, sharing Christ in the midst of the world. And you remember those. Look at verse 7 through 9. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. The thought of being steadfast sowers is crucial. Godly sowers of God's word. You and I do it by example. You and I do it verbally. Should do it verbally. Every pastor does it verbally. You and I need to be able to do that. Now, to be able to sit in your house, I'm retired, I get to do that, and say, they can see my example. Duh. I have to be out there. You know, we just went through a snowstorm. I don't have a snowblower. I've got my back and a shovel. And that's what I do. I shovel. Yeah. And we have an elderly couple on the corner. So I go over and shovel. She gets so mad at me every time I do that. But her husband has to go to the hospital regularly for dialysis and things like that. And I'm thinking, lady, I'm going to help, you know, and just be there. She has gotten to the point over the 10 years to where now she will ask me to pray for them. That's what it's all about. Being that example, being there for them, being a steadfast sower of God's word. I know I've shared this here before, but I'm going to share it again. I like to, at the grocery store, so many choices, but I like to go still to a cashier. Forgive me, I like cashiers. I don't like the machines where I do it myself. And I like to go to the same cashier every single time I go through. I like to be able to talk with them. I like to be able to start communicating with them, asking them what they do, what they like, different things. They ask me what I do. Oh, I'm a pastor. Oh, you are? And the first time, you know, they get a little, you know, scared about it. But, you know, And this Christmas holiday, and I remember it because it is Christmas time, and this grocery store was packed. And I chose to get in my cashier's line, even though the line seemed a little extra long, about two carts longer than the other ones, because I wanted to chat, wish her Merry Christmas, all of those kinds of things. And we get going through, and I get up there, and man, she's going like, ching, 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 you know, so fast. And I go, wow, this is like the Amazing Race. And she looks at me. She goes, Pastor, it certainly is an amazing grace. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. She goes, do you know that song? What song? Amazing Grace? She goes, yeah, do you know that song? And I go, yes, I do. I'm going, oh, no. And she goes, will you sing it? Oh, yeah. And by the time I got to when we're there for 10,000 years, guess what? At least five or six other people are singing along with me in a grocery store, sowing seeds diligently. I can't say I've done it perfectly, but wanting God to be glorified. Paul, to the folks in Corinth in chapter 9, put it this way, I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. But let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly nor necessity. I want you to know that when the first words came out, amazing grace, guess what? I don't know if it came out of a cheerful heart or not. It was more of a scared one. But when I heard the other voices, it was out of a cheerful heart. Now, this is talking about finances in 2 Corinthians 9, but it can be applied to every area of our life of sowing seeds of who God is for his glory and his glory alone. Being steadfast sower. So crucial. Our culture needs it. We don't have to be obstinate about it. Just with a smile, share the love of Christ. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Bottom line, godly service is crucial. Godly service is crucial. You know, I just love Billy's heart. Whether it's teaching God's word, singing songs that other people have written, singing songs that he has written, and I know some of the things that that young man and his family has walked through the last 4.5 years. And yet the joy is still there. And the desire to help others, even when his wife wants to drive off a cliff, is real. So genuine. So real. You and I have to be able to be that way. Hebrews 13 says this, verses 16 and 17. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. And that's where I look. Oh man, God's going to hold me accountable for the souls of the flock of God, of his pasture that he has entrusted to my care. That's huge. You and I ought to desire to do those things good. Finally, a nurse comes, and I'm still saying, don't open your eyes, don't open your eyes. She carries me through. She goes, Mr. Bailey, that looks bad. And I said, yeah, I'm going to need an ophthalmologist. I know I've got them in my eyes. It's bad. Now, I was sweaty, you know, extremely sweaty. The shop I worked in had to be at least 95 degrees that day. I perspire easily. And so I knew my face was plastered. And she goes, well, you keep your eyes closed. I'm going to start cleaning you up. We have called an ophthalmologist, you know. And so put me back on a table. And man, it was like she was giving me a shower. You know, and I keep saying, keep your eyes closed, keep your eyes closed, keep your eyes closed. Finally, the doctor came. When she was finished cleaning the outside, she turned off the light, told me to rest. The doctor came. I understand you got some chips in your ear, in your eyes. And I said, yeah. This guy took a Q-tip, wrapped my eyelid around it to open up my eye. And boy, did that hurt. He goes, oh, they haven't given you anything yet? And I said, no. He sprayed a little something there, but then he began with tweezers plucking these tiny fish hooks out of my eye and out of my eyelid, just one by one, and I'm laying there going, don't blink, don't blink. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, yearns to pluck those fish hooks out of your life and my life. And I can honestly say, if it hadn't been for a gracious, gentle lady who was willing to help in that moment of time, I don't know what I would have done. I might be still sitting there today saying, I can't see. For the child of God, sometimes they just get so wrapped up in their circumstances and they can't see. And you and I, we're a part of God's plan to bring them to the one who can help them see. And yes, I ended up with patches over my eyes, but in 3 days, my eyes were healed and away I was going again. God is so gracious. God is so real. So you here today, we're going to celebrate communion as usual. How are you doing? Examine your heart. Are you passionately following the Lord or the flesh? Or are your feet in both worlds? Are you sidetracked by your circumstances? Your eyes not fixed on the Lord? Come back. Come back. He's waiting for you. Just like God yearns for you to hold you. And I'm going to put this one in there. Are your pastors truly important to you? This part of Scripture is so needful to be applied to every heart of the children of God for His glory and His glory alone. Let's stand and pray. Jared, Jaden, please. I am sure there'll be pastors on each side to pray with you. If you just have some circumstances that you would love for them to pray with you about. Our Father and our God, Lord, you know the heart of every person here, the heart of every person online who is watching. And Lord, how I pray that people would be serious about their relationship with you. Oh, Father, being restored, being compassionate, caring for people within the body of Christ, doing things for your glory and your glory alone, being obedient to your word. Father, I know you can minister the deepest hurts that are here today. I know that you can remove the grossest sin that is represented here today. And how I pray that people would become unshackled, set free by faith in you, and might your spirit bring healing, bring strengthening. Might you pour out your grace and mercy and love into the heart of every believer here as they come and share communion and celebrate the sacrifice of their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, please, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing, for it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.